now on Racing Pulse, RSN's racing editor, Matt Stewart.
We envisage this may have occurred a few weeks ago. I'm not saying better late than never, but certainly the right message, the right ad, and as we race towards 80% vaccinations.
For more news, opinion and selections, head to rsn.net.au.
RSN's racing editor, Matty Stewart, is here with all of the racing news. And Matty, we're waiting for final fields to drop for the Moya on Friday night and the Underwood on Saturday. Zaki, about $1.40. How many will be taking Zaki on? Is Probabil going to line up in the Underwood?
Depends on the weather, Michael. I had a chat to Tim Bailey this morning about what's likely, and then I had a chat to Jamie Richards. So the range is probably a soft six and a good four. Worst case scenario, if the rain comes on Friday, it'll be a soft six. And that's one of the scenarios I put to Jamie Richards this morning. But I also started off by asking him what his impressions were of Zaki.
Superstar. Yeah, I've got a lot of respect for him. I'd say just about unbeatable. But I was reading a few things there about left-handed form and all of that sort of stuff. So if he's got a weakness there, hopefully we can exploit it. But it looks very hard to beat.
If the best of Probabil turned up, could she get close to Zaki, or do you just think he's next level stuff?
Oh, she'll give 120%. She always does, as long as she gets the right footing. But yeah, he looks to be a superstar in the making. So yeah, we'll just have to wait and see, I guess.
Looks like somewhere between a soft six and a good four. I imagine the soft six part of that would be some concern to you with Probabil?
Yeah, I guess so. But we probably made a couple of mistakes there running her in the All-Star Mile, which is a pretty wet testing track, and the Cox Plate last year at Mini Valley. So I've been caught out twice on these sort of wet tracks and don't want to be caught out for a third time. So let's just keep a close eye on it. But basically for her, the firmer the better. She'll definitely be running if the track's okay, and hopefully the weather plays its part. We're supposed to go to the beach for a bit of a paddle in the surf and everything this morning, but wasn't able to do that just because of some COVID stuff. So hopefully we'll be able to get her out to the beach on Friday, and she really really enjoys it out there. So other than that, she's in good shape, and she'll do a little bit of work tomorrow on the grass, and we'll go from there.
Was the Underwood a bit of a late call?
Yeah, it is. We sort of always had it in the back of our mind without sort of saying too much. But, we got held up with the temperature early in the prep, which then put us on the back foot for the Wait for Age sort of series. Ran in the Cockrum, and then, just the weight stopped us on Saturday, and I thought this was probably the best way to get back on the Wait for Age train, was to back her up 1,800, and then it sort of sets us up for the Caulfield Stakes and possibly the Cox Plate. And we're going to get a good line on where we're at, whether we're a realistic chance of winning the Cox Plate or whether we might be better to reassess and drop back for an Empire Rose. We'll just sort of see how it all plays out.
So it sounds like she's probably 60-40. The weather could, as we know, it could turn a bit, and I'm not sure Sandown dries the same way Caulfield and Flemington do, but I think for the measure of Zaki, we need Probabil there on a dead four just to see what sort of a margin he can put on Probabil, if any.
Yeah, well, Superstorm's the other one. We'll have a chat to Danny O'Brien, but it'd be good to see Superstorm. He's got some ability, but Sir Dragonair's not going there. Explosive Jack's not going there. Elephant's not going there. Butter Chicken's not going there. So the rest are pretty much stayers. We've got 50 Stars, who's trying to get into form if he goes there. Holmesman, who would be first up, and Dawn Patrol. So we're not too sure where the Williams team will be going. So, look, all will be revealed in hopefully the next half an hour to 45 minutes, but you could have a field of five or six taking on Zaki in the Underwood on Saturday. So it's going to be what you would expect him to have a pretty easy time of it on Saturday if he's going to retain firm favouritism for the Cox Plate.
Yeah, I think it's just one of those traditional small field passageways that you get at this time of year in Underwoods and Caulfield Stakes and races like that leading up to the grand final. So it'll be a good chance for us to have a look at him in full flight, I'd imagine.
Yeah, no doubt about that. We've been talking for a little while about this Tasmanian issue, and you spoke to Gary White yesterday, who has come out in defence of the young apprentices and the girls who have been at the centre of this, especially one of them who actually rode the winner at her first race ride, and how all of this talk has been affecting them, which is something that I think has probably been lost in this story, that these are two young apprentices who are trying to make their way in their career, and there's been a lot of negative focus on them because of this.
it's a pretty ugly story, really. I mean, there's a lot of elements to it. There's a lot of personal issues between key people in Tasmanian racing, where there seems to be a bit of a, not a war, but sort of a bit of a territorial dispute going on down there as well. And Taya Stalker and Taylor Johnston, Gary White's a Hall of Fame trainer, of course, and they both rocked up to his door a couple of years ago. One of them had her mother in tow, and they'd been knocked back by a number of racing stables. Both 16-year-olds at the time wanted to start out a career in racing and probably riding, and Gary encouraged them. And then a year later, he said, I couldn't believe how fit and focused they were when they were riding in their required jump outs and trials. And he said that, you know, last Sunday at Devonport should have been the best day of Taya Stalker's life, and ditto for Taylor Johnston. And he said when Taya Stalker won that race from her first race ride, it should have been the greatest moment of her life. But he said all the stuff that was going on in the background made it a really hollow experience for her. She had to show steely nerve to shut all that out, because eight senior jockeys had basically decided that they didn't have enough faith in the capabilities of at least one of the girls to compete against them. And then all this stuff's going on at the moment where there's a meeting with Taz Racing and the Jockeys Association today to draw up some new protocols regarding, just in general terms, the education process and all that sort of stuff with apprentice jockeys. But Gary White did come out, and he was very supportive of the girls, and he basically said that they had really faced a barrage because of this exposure of this incident, where they're basically drive-by victims of the senior jockeys who, in their defence, said, look, we're the ones who are going out riding against them, and it's our safety on the line. So that is the argument of a cohort of senior jockeys. But the feeling is that from the other side of it is that the girls went through the required hoops and they had to start somewhere. They don't have bush races and tiered racing in Tasmania. So when they start off, they have to start off against the seniors. And it was Devonport last Sunday. So the seniors are going to ride against the girls at Devonport this Sunday. So not sure what the strike action really achieved, other than to highlight some concerns that hopefully might be addressed today when they meet with Taz Racing.
And you would have preferred that it could have been done quietly rather than so publicly. And let's not forget that one of the best jockeys Tasmania has ever produced, Stephen Maskeel, is the man that has ticked off on the ability of these two apprentices to actually begin their careers as well. So it's just something that, as you said, leaves a really bad taste in your mouth. The concerns are real, but it's put a lot of pressure on these two young girls who are starting out in their careers. A little later today, I think Gareth has got the Tasmanian Racing Minister on Tassie Time, so it'll be interesting to get their views or her views on that, because this is an issue that needs to get, I suppose, finalised and fixed as soon as possible.
Exactly, and Leon Wells has been the master of so many top Tassie apprentices, and he's Taylor Johnston's master, and he gave her the tick as well. He thought she was ready. So it is tricky, though, because there is the safety element, and there is the concerns of some of the seniors that these girls, or one of them maybe, is not quite as advanced yet in what is a very volatile environment of race riding. So there is two sides to the story, of course, but at the end of the day, these two young apprentices were basically drawn over the coals, albeit almost inadvertently, by the thought processes of the jockeys.
Speaking of jockeys, are we going to see Sydney riders, Cox Plate Day, or Melbourne Cup Week?
Well, it's going to be interesting. There's a few things brewing at the moment that are all about the race for vaccination. One of them is the VRC's hope that they might get up to 15,000 a day for Cup Week if the vaccination race is a little bit ahead of time, which is projected to be 80% double vax a day or two after the Melbourne Cup. So there's that element. There's the element of whether things improve enough at the death knock for Sydney jockeys to be cocooned enough to ride Cox Plate Day and for three of the 4 days of Cup Week. Of course, they wouldn't want to come down on Derby Day with the Golden Eagle, but whether they could be bubbled away like some AFL teams have been, and maybe come via Essendon and be escorted to the races and so on. But that all depends on whether things open up at the death knock. And that's the same with country races that have basically been abandoned because of they're going to lose the race to be ready to host crowds at that stage. I'll just go through a few of those country race meetings that have been forfeited or moved. So Menangatang Cup meeting on the 9th of October has been abandoned. Wodonga, 16th of October, ditto. St. Arnold Cup meeting will move to the 24th of October from the 23rd. Maybe there's some sense that might be helpful. Mortlach Cup meeting has been moved to October, and the two first picnic meetings have been scrapped at the moment. Alexandra on the 23rd of October and Healesville on the 30th of October. So all of these things are getting to the pointy end of the vaccination race. If the Sydney jockeys can come, if Melbourne, if the Flemington, the VRC can get 15,000 per day to the Melbourne Cup and the other three race meetings there, and also some of these country cup meetings, whether the timing of some of them might allow for some crowds to return. And that's what Greg Carpenter said in that press release about the country racing, is it's all about when we might be able to start getting crowds back and what the line in the sand date might be.
And Ethan Brown and Ben Mellum's appeals are today, which has been dragging on for some time. I've got to admit, I'm probably surprised that they are pushing through with these appeals after what we've seen with the other jockeys go before them. So what are we expecting today?
Well, as was the case with Mark Zara, they're going to have the false and misleading charge determined today as well. Of course, Jamie Carr got 2 months and she's appealing to the Supreme Court. Mark Zara got 1 month for that because he pleaded guilty eventually. And Mellum and Brown are also appealing the severity of the 3 months. So on precedent of what we've seen over the last couple of weeks, it would seem most unlikely that they will be successful in their appeals against the 3 months, and most unlikely that they'll be able to beat the false and misleading charge because the other jockeys who are at the Airbnb have failed to do so. So, interesting one there. What do you make of... do you like betting on a track where the rail's out 14 metres?
We don't see it very often, do we? We've seen the rail out a long way at Caulfield on a few of these midweek race meetings. And speaking with Dean Lester this morning, and Dino will be on after 10 o'clock, and I touched on it with Lee Jordan earlier this morning. The rail was 4 metres last year, and then the other two meetings that we have had this, it has always been in this 14-metre positioning for this midweek meeting. So it's not the first time it's occurred. It's actually usually standard practice. Last year, because they renovated the track, they actually brought it into 4 metres because they want to protect the Turnbull Stakes meeting, which is on Saturday week, and then obviously the countdown to the 4 days at Flemington. So I can see the situation that Liam O'Keefe is in. Disappointment today for a lot of connections is that they didn't actually get runs, because with the rail out so far, you can't have full fields in most of the races.
Yeah, I understand the protecting of the track aspect of it, so no knock on what Liam has had to do, but I remember the previous meetings when it's been at 14 meetings, it's been a narrow passageway. To me, it's always been a little bit luck in running type determined. So, and at this time of year with horses wanting runs. So I guess I understand why it is the case, but it's certainly not an ideal situation. Interested to see what listeners... Gee, we just had an earth tremor.
Oh, wow. I'm feeling it here. We're in Beaumaris. Are we having an earthquake?
We are having an earthquake. This building is absolutely shaking.
Jesus. We're having a... this is a really big earthquake.
Yeah. All right, I'll let you go.
All right. Our house is absolutely... We're in Beaumaris, and the house is going absolutely nuts. Listeners, SMS is 0416 90 50 52. The office where Matt is in the middle of Carlton. This has been a really strong tremor. I would say this is the strongest earthquake I've ever felt as a Melbournian living here. Are you feeling it around Melbourne and Victoria? 0416 90 50 52. That's lasted for probably the best part of around about 30 seconds, and we're still getting some after tremors right now. That's quite remarkable. Unbelievable. I've never felt anything like that before living in Melbourne. Gee whiz, what is going on? We are feeling everything at the moment, and Melbourne, certainly plenty of action at the moment. All right, that is Matty Stewart's news. We'll take a quick break on the other side of this. Hopefully we'll make the earth shake once more, finding you winners at Flemington today.